Welcome, everyone, to Heart Shift Radio. This, of course, is your Heart Shift coach, Marcy Newman, and I'm going to tell you right up front that I am so excited to have our guest with me today, Marion Head. And I'm going to tell you a little bit about her in terms of her professional being in just a moment, but I do want to share with you one of the reasons why I am so thrilled to have Marion here. Marion was one of those people who, when I met her, I had this instantaneous connection to. And I always pay attention to that. When I am drawn to someone's energy so intensely, it tells me so much about them right from the get-go. And of course, Marion did not disappoint me even for a second. We started to talk and it was like, well, it was like two old friends or maybe even two sisters who had come together after having not seen each other for a long time. And yet it seemed as if we just picked up right where we had left off, even though we had not previously met. So let me welcome you, Marion, and thank you so much for being here and for bringing that beautiful energy to this show that I can now share with every single one of our listeners.
Thank you, Marcy. It is such a joy to be together again. And although we're far away in distance, we're close in heart.
Yes, Marion is very lucky, and she's going to tell us more about her idyllic life a little later on, but she is broadcasting from Hawaii. So let that just be a little taste of things
and
to come.
And I am looking out at the ocean, and I hope that during the broadcast I'll see a whale,
because it's whale season. I hope so, too. And I'm in Boston, and last night it was 17 degrees. So we're in different places, but our hearts are in the same place. Yes. So without further ado, let me just tell you a little bit about Marion from a professional sense. She's, first of all, an award-winning author of three books, including The Revolutionary Agreements, A Personal Path to Peace on Earth. And this is part of what really drew me to Marion right from the beginning. Marion says that the revolutionary agreements are foundational to her great success in all of her endeavors. And when she tells you about these, you're going to understand why. So whether she's building her multi-million dollar global businesses, guiding a Fortune 100 team to clarify its values, facilitating transformative international events, such as the first global forums of spiritual and parliamentary leaders on human survival, or her parenting. Marion is connected to her heart in ways that are so powerful and so clear. As a founder of agreementsinstitute.com, Marion certifies visionary leaders and coaches to lead experiential, transformational, revolutionary agreements programs. That was a mouthful. That reinforce their own teachings, but spread love and peace and joy to their clients and their communities. So what Marion is saying is that everything that she has found that has opened the world up to her is what she shares with others so they can do the same in their own communities and in their work as well. So again, Marion, welcome, and thank you so much for being here, and I can't wait to dive in.
Thanks, Marcy. And you know, it's interesting, what you just said last is how I answer questions these days about what do I do? What do you do? And what I love to do is just share what is working for me that might help somebody else. That's just my greatest joy. And the revolutionary agreements are really at the top of my list.
So let's start there, because okay. I know that the Revolutionary Agreements has in itself such an interesting history. Can you tell us, first of all, how this came about and a little bit of how you then started to incorporate them into your life. But let's start first with the history of the agreements. Mm-hmm. So interesting, everybody. Listen up.
Well, it was actually 1985, June of 1985. My husband, Glenn, was then president of the something called the Win-Win Business Forum. And he was very deep into business and entrepreneurship, starting new businesses, helping others build their businesses, and doing it in a way where everybody won. Now, we still could grow more in that area in our society, but then it was sort of a new idea. And so,
well, back in 85, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he gathered, one day he was really inspired. This was an inspiration, Marcy. And he was inspired to invite some of the business people he hung out with over to our home to explore together how can we support each other in living our highest values in all aspects of our lives, and especially at work, because that's where we spent our time, you know, in those younger years especially. And at that first gathering, we began developing a set of agreements that would help to guide us in living those values. Now, that group decided to meet again the next month for a full day, and then the month after for a full day. And that forum continued without membership or obligation of any kind for the next 20 years. And at the beginning of each of our gatherings, we would start by reading these agreements aloud and talking about how they were influencing us and how they were impacting our businesses and our home life and our clients, you know, everybody that we touched. And as we evolved over those 20 years, Marcy, the agreements evolved. The revolutionary agreements are my version of the essence of those agreements that served all of us so well over those 20 plus years. Now it's 30 years. For me, I felt called to put it into a book and send it out into the world so that it could serve more people. Why keep it a secret? They're simple. These agreements are really, really simple. But they are very profoundly powerful when we actually put them into practice. So I don't know if you want me to go over
I would love for you to do that, because I want our listeners to have a taste of what these agreements are as well, or maybe not just a taste. I mean, just really be clear about them, and then to of course begin to incorporate them in their lives as well. But yes, please tell us what the agreements are.
Sure. Well, first, when the revolutionary agreements came out of me as the essence of these other agreements, which were very long, by the way, Marcy, they were like 28, 30 words long. 20 years later, we were still reading them from a piece of paper.
How long did it take you?
Well, not that long. But I just felt that when I was going to offer them out into the world, that I asked this group, what is the essence of this agreement and that agreement? And ultimately, this is my version of the essence. And they self-organized into three, what I call pillars of a good life: truth, acceptance, and gratitude. So there are 12 agreements, 4 in each of those areas of truth, which is being the truth of who you are, just your authentic self. And acceptance, there are 4 agreements in acceptance, which is accepting others for who they are in this moment, and then 4 agreements in the area of gratitude, which gratitude is, it's the best way to live, is all I can say. It's just feeling and expressing gratitude for every precious moment of life. So in the truth area, and I think I'll invite you as a listener to listen for an agreement that if you were to put it into practice every day, would say, let's say, most positively impact your relationships. So just listen with that in mind. So in the area of truth, I agree to live my mission, to speak my truth with compassion, to look within when I react, and to keep doing what works and change what doesn't. And I'd like to just say a few words about each of those, just very quickly.
I would really love that. And
yeah, just quickly. I agree to live my mission. There's a distinction here, Marcy, so I'm glad you want me to say this. It's not about achieving the mission. Oh my gosh, we are so good in our society in going for the gold, you know, and achieving. This is actually about discovering the essence of what it is you love and making sure that you're living that essence every day. So you're not putting off until tomorrow or some future the accomplishment of I have finally achieved my mission, but what is the essence of that mission that calls you forth? And then find a way to incorporate it every day. For example, somebody I knew had wanted a children's camp. So she was really working hard to make a lot of money so she could start her children's camp, a special camp for children. And she was spending no time with children. She was all focused on work. So when we were going through this program together, she said, yes, that's right. And I feel so unfulfilled. So she began doing some volunteer work with children right away. She added that to her life. And then she could feel fulfilled in the moment while she was building up her nest egg for that particular venture that she ultimately did do. So I agree to speak my truth with compassion is the second one. And all that is about, Marcy, is being honest. Mm. Now, you would think that'd be easy. I mean, that would be easy, wouldn't it, to be sure. Honest? But many of us were raised, for example, to be polite. And one of the challenges is that we often have competing values. So is it more important in this moment to be polite or to be honest? Well, this agreement for me means I'm always honest, always honest. You can count on me. And I think you know this, Marcy.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can count on me. I am always honest. And with compassion means that I have your well-being and my well-being in mind when I'm honest.
I really like that.
Mm-hmm. And then there's look within when I react, which for me shows up as when I feel triggered, and triggered meaning I have some kind of a disproportionate reaction to what somebody says or does. It's for me never about the other person. And I mean, I don't like to use the word never, but it's not about the other person. When I have a disproportionate emotional reaction to what somebody says or does, it's about me. It's about something unresolved in me. And I don't even need to resolve it. I just have to remember it and go to that place and say, oh yeah, I remember when I was manipulative like that person is right now. And I didn't feel good about it. And what it does is it lets me disconnect that emotion from that relationship. So it has nothing to do with my relationship with that person. That emotion dissolves. And I can go on with that person in my life in a good relationship. And I can do whatever I want with that unresolved issue in me. But it's, wow, it just consumes so much of our energy to be pointing the finger and blaming other people for how we feel. And it's, for me, usually about myself. Does that make sense?
Powerful. Very powerful.
And then to keep doing what works and change what doesn't, you know, that's easy to say. Mm-hmm. But it really does help to have some understanding of how the brain works, to learn to build new habits, let's say, and let old ones atrophy that we don't want. And so in the programs that we do around revolutionary agreements, we spend a little bit of time looking at how the brain works, and then we do some repatterning ourselves. We choose to build new good habits. So it can be done. In fact, I'd like to share just a quick story, if I might, Marcy, about
sure.
How I changed something huge in my life. So one day, one of my business partners said to me, isn't our work so much fun and it's easy and it's rewarding? And I said, well, it is fun because I get to work with you and our other friends. It's very rewarding because our work was in the healthcare world, and we were helping a lot of people to feel great, and we were making a lot of money. So
lots of fun all around. Yeah.
Lots of fun, lots of money, and lots of and very rewarding in terms of the gift that we were giving to people's lives. But easy, I said to her, easy? No, I don't think it's easy. And she said, really? I think it's easy. Well, I had to take a look at that because we were doing the same work. So why did I think it was hard and were hard work? And why did she think it was easy? And I realized I have always thought that work was hard. I mean, you're supposed to work hard. You're supposed to work hard. And work is hard. And, you know, it's challenging and it's part of the struggle. And, you know, and so I had this whole kind of habit about work being hard. So even when I was enjoying my work, I would sometimes complain about it or feel burdened by it. So I thought, well, I'd like to change that. I would like to think that it's easy too. Mm-hmm. So the next day I woke up and I thought, I'm just going to reinforce everything that's easy in my life. And I mean everything. So I opened the sliding glass door right here in front of me that's looking out at the ocean, and boom, it opened fast. And I said out loud, that was easy. And then when I made breakfast that morning and I cracked an egg in the pan, I said, oh, that was easy. And all day long, I kept seeing how easy everything was, how easy. And it really only took a few days. And my life, it shifted. I lightened up. Everything, it wasn't that everything became easy. It's where my focus went.
It certainly became more fun.
Yes. And it became obvious that it was easy. And so I trained my mind to see it easy instead of seeing it hard. And so if I could do that, you can do anything.
It's so powerful. And it seems like it's such a simple thing. But for some people, I also can see the challenge. And what I love so much about your agreements, as I was listening to them, I had the same reaction, I know, when I read your book. And that is, first of all, they're very profound. You can recognize immediately how life will be lived with integrity using these agreements and how it must flow in a very positive way. And so they're very inspiring. But what I love about them most is that they also give permission to be human. So that permission, I think, is more powerful than anything, because so often, and I've been in this work now for like 45 years, right? So I've certainly read a lot of authors and spoken to a lot of people in the field. And sometimes I know that feedback that I've gotten is that people have said, well, you make it sound so easy, or I can't imagine myself ever really being able to do that. But what you've done is that you've given people permission to be human. You're not saying, don't do this, don't do that. You're saying, if you do this, take a look at yourself. If you find yourself reacting, responding, take a look at yourself. You're saying, if you find something in there that doesn't make you happy, you can change it. You're not saying how much it needs to be changed. You're not saying that everything has to be changed. What you're saying is that as humans, we are going to be triggered. We have these programs, right, that have developed within each and every one of us, and we will be triggered. But it's what you do when you realize that, that makes all the difference in the world. And that's, I want you to know how much I appreciate how you have presented these.
Thank you, Marcy. And, you know, I really enjoy a great life, and I don't want to keep it to myself. I want everybody to enjoy a great life. And I remember that group that met for 20 years. I remember somebody saying one day during one of our gatherings, this is such a special group. And I said, I don't want it to be a special group. I want everybody to have this. I want everybody to feel safe and have the ability to expand within a community that supports them and that they can trust. And, you know, I want everybody to have that, Marcy. It almost brings tears to my eyes.
And I can feel that.
We have, I know, and I've got the chills. Yeah. It's, we have to start inside. We have to start inside. That's all. Nobody has to do anything except if we want to have a great life and make the contributions that we're here to make. It works from the inside out. And this set of agreements, it's not for everyone. Everybody has to find their own path to peace. I mean, I call it a personal path to peace on earth because it gives me that and it gives others that. But it's not the end all be all. This is one structure. Some of my graduates, I do a certification program for, which you mentioned earlier, for visionary leaders and transformational trainers and coaches. And they say that this has offered them a structure for being the change that they wish to see in the world. I love that. But there are other structures, you know, so it's but, not, again, yeah.
But I have to say, I kind of disagree with you. Because I do believe that these agreements are for everyone. Now, it's not to say that everyone will do it on the same level or to the same degree, right? But if each and every one of us, as we took our first breath in the morning, reviewed these agreements in our mind or read through them and were reminded to be in their truth, well, automatically that gives them permission to actually be authentic in their lives and to be aware that there may be programming that's going to encourage you to be polite rather than truthful. Mm-hmm. But truth is so essential to us living authentically, and it's only in our authentic living that we're able to deliver what we came here to deliver. But also, yes. in that permission to be truthful, there is also permission to explore truth, to find out, well, what's really truth here and what's the programming. And so immediately it's an opening for reflection.
Yeah, beautiful, Marcy. Beautifully said. And the acceptance agreements, yeah, the acceptance agreements lead me to know that also truth is relative.
Yes.
And it's relative to each of us. It's as there's as many truths as there are perspectives, and our perspectives can change and as we evolve. So would you like me to go over the acceptance agreements?
I would. I would like to say one more thing about that truth.
Sure.
Because
sure.
I really want our listeners to recognize they have permission to speak their truth. And what you just said is so important. Allow your truths to change. Allow yourself to explore what's true for you. But speaking your truth, as you said earlier, there's always a place for compassionate delivery, right? So when we come from that compassionate heart, truth no longer scares us.
Yes.
We don't have to be afraid of being in our truth when we are coming from that place of compassion. So I love your material. And yes, let's talk about the rest.
Yeah. And I'm just reflecting on what you said, Marcy, because I get feedback a lot because I'm so practiced in this. It's a practice. And so I have 30 years of practice.
Yep.
When I speak my truth with compassion, I often have people say to me, you know, it's so helpful for me that you're so clear. Now, or I really appreciate your honesty. They feel my love. So it's not confrontational. It's just I'm speaking my truth. It's not about them. It's a what's true for me. And that's where the acceptance agreements come in too, because I'm accepting whoever they are in the moment. I'm not asking them to be me or be like me or even understand me, actually. So the first acceptance agreement is I agree to listen with my heart. That was a huge one for me because I tend to be a problem solver and a fixer. So I used to listen in order to fix whoever was speaking, especially if it was my mother. And so when I learned to listen with my heart, which really was just listening so that the other person can feel heard. I can't say I just learned to do it because I actually went to a week-long course on listening that was given by a PhD whose work was in listening.
How beautiful.
So I learned, it is, and I learned a lot about the filters we listen through. But the most important thing I learned was how much we actually support each other's health and well-being by simply listening fully, without problem solving, fixing, comparing, thinking about what I'm going to say next.
Right, of course.
So that's the first agreement. I agree to listen with my heart. And then, for the listeners again, in this area of these four agreements, I'll read the agreements first like I did before, and then I'll go back through them. Again, listen for which one, if you were to practice it regularly, might have the greatest positive impact on your relationships. So the second one is I agree to respect our differences. And then I agree to resolve conflicts directly. And then I agree to honor our choices. So respecting our differences really has to do with what I mentioned before. There are as many perspectives as people. It's that simple. And so to be curious, to be interested, instead of to be oppositional, is a practice. It's a practice. That's all I'm going to say about that today.
Sure.
Unless you want to come back to it. And then I agree to resolve conflicts directly. Oh, Marcy, we spend so much of our creative energy and productivity worried about conflict that for days, weeks, months before we address it. If we were to just address issues that come up for us now, or as soon as we can settle our emotions, perhaps, you know, as quickly as possible, and that's what directly means, and directly with the person with whom we can resolve them, compared to what I used to do when I was younger, which is how many people can I find who agree with me before I talk to that person?
Right. Exactly.
So
sure.
I don't do that anymore. Now, if something comes up, it's as simple as saying, gosh, Marcy, something just didn't feel good about that communication. Can we talk about it? And I'm done. You know, I'm not worried about it overnight. I'm not sleeping on it. It's done. It's done because I'm doing it in love. I consider all of these agreements love in action. I don't say that very often, but that's just what comes
concur.
Up for me.
Absolutely.
That's what comes up for me right now. So that's resolve conflicts directly. And the last one is honor our choices. And again, there's so much magnificence in each of us that gets, we don't shine our lights when we're blaming ourselves for being a certain way or critiquing or saying, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And some of us can do it for years. I shouldn't have done that. Well, honoring our choices means really getting that at the moment of choice or decision, we make the best one we're capable of. At that moment, at that very moment. Now, it might not have the outcome we had hoped, and in which case we can go back to an agreement that's keep doing what works and change what doesn't. But to spend our energy blaming ourselves or somebody else for choices that I make or they make, it's just such a waste of our beautiful energy. So
it certainly is. And one of the comments that I would like to make is that what I was feeling throughout your entire description there, I mean, first of all, acceptance, you're right, is such an incredibly powerful word. But when we really start to embrace that, again, I can just feel my whole body softening, like I've just been given permission to let go of anything that had been creating some kind of a constraint in my field. And I think also when you began by talking about listening with your heart, what came up for me, and I felt this same thread through the descriptions of each one, was what you're really describing is as you listen with your heart, you're automatically putting aside judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And you're also dissolving any sense of separation. So immediately there is this unity and a memory of being one. The moment you come from that heart and actually listen through it. So I just want our listeners to recognize what's really here in these agreements and this whole aspect of acceptance. It's really amazing, Marion. And I'm so moved by it.
I'm moved by you being moved, Marcy. And I'm glad you said the word judgment, because this whole area is about non-judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And when the agreements self-organized into this area, I didn't want to use a negative word. Our vocabulary doesn't have as many positive words as negative words by a long shot. So when the word acceptance rose up, it was like, yes, that is really what it's about. And acceptance, of course, goes beyond accepting people. It's also accepting what just happened as being maybe for my best good or for the best good of all or whatever. And that's actually, we're going to move into gratitude on that, because
it flows
there.
Mm-hmm.
So the gratitude agreements, and again, I invite you to ask which one of these would be most impactful for your relationships. I agree to give and receive thanks. I agree to see the best in myself and others. I agree to look for blessings in disguise. And I agree to lighten up. Lighten up. So the first one, I agree to give and receive thanks. Well, we are, at least in my culture, raised to say thank you. I think most cultures, I mean, thank yous, you can find thank you in every language I've ever heard.
I think so.
So we learn how to say thank you when we're young. We don't learn so much how to receive appreciation.
Mm.
And in our culture, we learn to deflect it, actually, like, oh, it was nothing. Or, you know, in some way, just not fully receive appreciation. So we do actually do some beautiful, deep work around receiving appreciation in our programs. And what's interesting is it's a vibration. It's an energy of reception, of receiving. So once we can receive appreciation, it's interesting to notice how we're receiving other things we'd like to receive too, like money or love, yeah, or anything else. It's everything's energy. So if we're blocking appreciation, we're blocking other things we could be receiving. So I agree to see the best in myself and others. Oh, Marcy, this one has been so important to me in my life. So this one saved my marriage. So do we have time for a little story?
Absolutely. I think there would be some mutiny if we didn't at this point. Go ahead.
Okay. So at my 24th wedding anniversary to my husband, Glenn, now of 35 years.
Lovely.
Yes, it is. I thought, well, actually, it's probably 33. We've known each other 35 years. I thought, if something doesn't change, we are not going to be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary. And what was going on was the previous year was the year that I wrote my first book. Glenn had taken over the business that I had grown for 10 years, and I so that I could focus on the book. And I didn't like the way he was doing it because he's not me. I wanted him to do it the way I did it. But as you know, my husband, Glenn, we are really different. Mm-hmm. And he's, anyway, I won't go into the details, but I was just frustrated and angry and critical. I think that's the most important word. I was critical of him constantly about the business, and then it spilled over into other aspects of our lives. And I just felt this annoyance constantly. And so I was critical of him all the time. And I really thought that day of my anniversary, we're just not going to have another one unless I do something different. And the next day, it just happened to be that I saw this little blank gratitude journal book. And I thought, I could practice what I preach.
Imagine that.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, we teach what we need to learn.
Of course.
I sometimes don't like to admit that, but it's absolutely true. And right now I love to admit it. We teach what we need to learn. And so I got that little gratitude journal and I thought, okay, I'm going to write one thing every day that I'm grateful for about Glenn. So this is the agreement. I agree to see the best in him, you know, in others and myself. So every morning I sat down in this rocking chair in our bedroom, and he sleeps later than me. So I just kind of looked at him and I thought, okay, what am I grateful for? And I have to tell you, Marcy, I could not come up with anything that first morning.
Ouch, Glenn. Ouch.
I'm still so in the, however I was feeling that whole previous year. So I did write something, but it was more to the people who introduced us. I was like, thank you to these people who had introduced us, you know, home so many years ago. And then the next day I sat again with the book. I turned the page. It's just a little page. And it was easier. And the next day after that, it was easier to come up with something. And then I started looking forward to it. It really only took a few days to actually shift, not just how I thought, but how I felt. Because I was no longer focused on what I did not like about Glenn and what I was upset about. I was focused on what I loved about him, what I liked about him, what I was grateful for about him. I wound up writing for 121 days. Wow. And Glenn had no idea I was doing it. And I gave him that journal for our 25th wedding anniversary as a gift.
Lovely.
Yes.
What a great idea that is.
And here's the best part. Even though we had a great marriage for the first 23 years until that 24th year, it's better since then and better and better because I constantly see the best in him. It's so good. And in my friends and in everybody, I'm able now to really see people's magnificence. And I don't go to that critical place anymore. I mean, I must because I'm human. But
of course.
In this moment, I know I've shifted because I used to be so critical. I'm analytical. It's just the way I am. And so I would analyze and criticize. And now I'm just more interested in why people are the way they are or what makes them tick or... It's interesting that people have other perspectives. And I have people in my family, we are politically opposed, we'll call it opposed, diametrically opposed to each other politically, and we get along great.
That's fantastic. You know, I think also what you've just brought up again is, you know, and by using yourself as an example and the fact that you were at one point a bit hypercritical and obviously in judgment. You know, people sometimes don't equate those, but that's what it is. It's judgment is in the same energy wave as being critical. And although we can be critical for different things, it's not just about people, right? But yes. But the fact is that as you did, every single person listening can retrain their perspective, can retrain, reprogram themselves to shift from being hypercritical to always being in judgment and allowing themselves instead to be in that place again. We're back to the word of acceptance, and then being able to relish what we find.
Beautiful, beautiful, to relish what we find. Yeah, I like that. That's good, Marcy.
So I think, you know, you're giving real concrete tools and tips for people. As you said, you know, right very early on in our conversation, it's about creating peace. And the peace that begins within us when we're willing to take a good look at who we are at any given moment and simply ask the questions, is this going to take me where I want to be? Is it going to help me to manifest what it is that I want to manifest, to experience what it is that I want to experience? And everything that you've given us today is a tool for how to tweak that energy so that it delivers.
And I do, when you said the word tips, I thought, oh, I can give you one more tip with this agreement to see the best in myself and others. Often what we see as someone's weakness is also their strength. So, and that includes ourselves, of course. And so one other with my husband, just because, you know, he's the closest person to me, I used to be upset about how slow he is in moving, like literally moving, like getting to the next thing. And that means we're often late, by the way. Mm-hmm. Well, the flip side of that, so that I used to see as his weakness. When I looked at his strength is that he is very present. He is right here, right now, with whoever he's with, doing whatever he's doing. And that is a gift. And I aspired to be more like that. So when I would begin to be critical of his, let's call it slowness, I would shift my thinking in that moment, just shift and think about how fortunate I am that he's so present. And it changed everything. It's really, it's quantum thinking. And that's for another conversation I'd love to have about quantum thinking.
For sure.
And the last two, very quickly, I agree to look for blessings in disguise. You know, think about a time when you had something happen that seemed very traumatic, and sometime after that, you realized what a blessing it was. Almost all of us can think of times like that. And it's good to practice going back to look for that, so that when we're in the middle of a difficult situation, we can trust that somewhere there's a blessing, even if we have no idea what it could be.
And that precious. Again,
as you said, Marcy, that again gives us a sense of inner peace. Just knowing that, and then I agree to lighten up, you know, after all that work.
Exactly. But imagine after lifting all of that, letting go of the weight of all of that, of course you're going to lighten up.
Yes, you're right. And it's the word judgment again. It's judgment is a huge burden that we carry around with us. You know,
goodness.
Whatever we feel responsible for judging, let it go.
Let it go. Let it go. So true. I'm sure everyone listening knows that Marian and I could just go on and on and on and on. And in fact, Marian, I would like to have another conversation about the quantum thinking, because it's, again, it's such a powerful perspective and concept that I believe will have so much value in sharing with our audience. So please, when we get off, we'll make a date to make certain that we have that conversation. But I know that you've got some really exciting things coming up, and I want to make certain, again, our audience gets all of this information. So the first thing is, can you please just tell them how they can reach you?
Yes. Wow, how they can reach me. Well, the easiest, the one, if I give just one thing, everything you need is at this place, which is Agreements Institute. So that's agreementsplural institute.com. Everything you need is there. There's a little contact form to get a hold of me. There's also information about my upcoming certification program, which is really for people who love to share transformational tools with others. And then if you just want to deepen your own practice using these agreements, my certified coaches are doing programs all year long, some of them virtually using Zoom and some of them locally all around the country and in Canada. So
that's fantastic.
You can find out all of that there.
That's great. And I encourage everyone to go to Marion's website. But I also know that you have a webinar that's coming up.
Ah, the webinar.
Right?
Yes.
In January 2018.
Well, actually, I think it's probably going to be in February. But here's the thing.
Okay.
The thing that I really want to share is that next year we're going to have revolutionary happy hours.
Love it.
Yes. And we're going to meet on the fourth Thursday of every month, just virtually using Zoom. We'll be able to see each other. We can see up to 25 people on a screen. And we're going to just have fun. We're going to connect and we're going to have conscious conversation. And it'll be around one of the agreements. So basically, if you want to stay in touch, if you want to hear about that program, if you want to hear about the webinar that's going to be in February, which is, by the way, going to be called One Step to Great Relationships. One step to great relationships at home, at work, and in the world. So just sign up for... register for to be on my email list, and you'll hear about it all. I don't send too many emails, you know, usually just a couple a month, unless I'm really, really excited.
Which could happen.
Could happen. And I am pretty excited about the revolutionary happy hours, which are free.
Wonderful.
And you would just get, at the beginning of each month, you would get, this month we're focusing on... like in January, we're going to focus on I Agree to Live My Mission. Mm-hmm. And so you would want to, you know, say read that chapter in the book or at least do the exercises I send in the email to you. And then at the end of the month, we come together and we can share, you know, like what's going on? What'd you discover? What did you learn? What challenges did you have? How can we help each other? I'm excited.
That's
and
fantastic.
Have a good time.
Yeah, that's
and have a
great.
Good time doing it.
And I know also we have a lot of coaches that listen to this program. So you have a certification program coming up as well.
Yes, I do. And it starts February 21st. And it's a small group. I love these small group Zooms, you know, where I feel like everybody's in the living room. And it's a 14-week program followed by a practicum. Mm-hmm. It's accredited by the International Coach Federation for 33 continuing education units if your coaches are ICF certified. And it's life-changing.
I'm sure it is.
For me and for the graduates. Yeah. It's so expansive, so loving, and so practical. And the coaches and the trainers, they leave with a fully scripted facilitator's guide for each of the 12 agreements, audios, videos, everything that's needed to support their programs. And they can use it all or they can throw it out and do it their own way.
Sounds absolutely wonderful. And again, there's more information about that at agreementsinstitute.com. And just to reiterate your wonderful, wonderful book, Revolutionary Agreements, A Personal Path to Peace on Earth. It's where it all begins. And I can't think of a better gift for one's self than that book, or of course for someone that you absolutely love. Actually, you could even buy it for someone that you think might be your enemy. And soon all of those walls will be falling down around you. So I can't thank you enough. And I do promise our audience that you will be back. I've so much enjoyed our conversation. And thank you so much for all of the wonderful information. You have such a generous heart and spirit. And You've really blessed us today, Marian. Thank you.
Oh, such a pleasure, Marcy. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share with your audience and, of course, to connect with you again. So yummy.
So fantastic. And so for our audience, I'm sending you so many wonderful blessings of your own heart shifts and, of course, peace. And until next time, I look forward. Bye-bye.